Grace, peace, and mercy of Almighty God be and abide with each of you, now and forever. Amen. Our text is the second reading for this day from Acts chapter 2, the continuation of Peter's Pentecost sermon. I read for you again these words. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, this Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So far the reading of the text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise be to God. God's people gathered in God's house once again to receive God's boundless gifts. Hallelujah. Last week, we heard the part of second chapter of Acts right before our text today, and we heard Peter declare, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And as he continues preaching, he tells more about this Jesus, the Lord, who saves those who calls upon his name. This Jesus had done mighty works and wonders and signs, which should have been enough evidence that he was God in the flesh, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. After all, who but God can restore sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, walking to the lame, cleansing to lepers, casting out demons, feeding the multitudes, controlling nature, restoring life to the dead, and even forgiving sins. Yet, according to God's definite plan and foreknowledge, Jesus was turned over to lawless men. Indeed, we see and we hear every day what lawless men can do. The destruction of property and life beyond comprehension. But in the case of Jesus, these lawless men killed the only person to ever keep God's whole law perfectly in every way by executing him on the cross. But don't think this was an accident, a tragedy, or that God did not know what was happening. For everything happened as it was supposed to happen, so that sinners could be forgiven and saved. Everything happened according to God's plan. Now, it's easy to point fingers at the lawless men who killed Jesus. But don't miss that those hearing Peter that day were told that this Jesus you crucified and killed. Though they used lawless men to do it, they were guilty of Jesus' death. There's no getting around it. They should have known better. But instead of receiving him, they rejected him and even had him killed, crucified like a common criminal. And God knew what was happening all along. And what was the great plan or purpose that required the death of God's own beloved Son? It was your salvation. It was your forgiveness. Because you had blown it too. No, you weren't there in Jerusalem shouting for Jesus to be crucified. But it was because of you that Jesus had to suffer and die. You see, it took the death of God's own Son to be the atoning sacrifice for your sins. Your sins had separated you from God, and there was nothing you could do to make it right. Only God could fix your problem. And that's why God the Father sent His Son in the flesh, so that He could suffer and die as your perfect substitute. Jesus took the full punishment of all sinners in all times and in all places, including you. Christ's sacrificial death, the shedding of His holy blood on the cross, His innocent suffering and death, purchased and won your full, free forgiveness. And the proof of all of that is seen in Christ's resurrection. God raised Him up, Peter says, for it's not possible for the Son of God to be held by death. God the Father approved so much of what His Son had done by dying for the sins of the world that He raised Jesus from the dead. Victorious on Easter day. Alleluia! Christ is risen! You don't know how long I've wanted to do that. And this news, this message that Christ is risen from the dead is the central and essential message that makes the church essential. It's that essential central message that the church proclaims, for that message gives the church its life. For though Jesus died, He was not abandoned to Hades, that is, the place of the dead. He was not left to see corruption, to rot and decompose. Oh no. He rose from the dead on the third day. And all of this, according to God's word, His foreknowledge, His promise, for death could no longer hold Him. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus had overcome sin. Without sin, death has no power. And the apostles had seen this Jesus raised from the dead bodily over the 40 days from His resurrection to His ascension. This was all part of the Father glorifying and exalting His Son, giving the stamp of approval to what Christ had accomplished, the mission for which He was sent. This Jesus, exalted to God's right hand, now rules and governs all things with divine royal authority. So Christ is victorious over all His enemies. Sin, death, the devil, hell. It's all defeated and conquered by our mighty Lord Jesus Christ. All that remains is for the final outcome of that victory to become evident at the last day. That is when God will raise up you, dear Christian, you who believe in Christ Jesus, your Savior. By God's grace, you and I will share in Christ's victory over death and the grave, the victory He so graciously gives us. We will be raised from the dead unto life everlasting. Beloved, Christ Jesus has defeated your enemies for you. What wonderful news this is! And being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He, that is Jesus, has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. You see, it all ties together. The exalted Son receives from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and then bestows that Spirit upon His church. That's what happened to Pentecost. And it continues to this very day. Jesus gives the Spirit to His church to empower her preaching of the gospel, to bring salvation unto untold millions of people around the world. This has been going on from the day of Pentecost, and it will continue until the day of Christ's return. God is doing something magnificent in our day. He is actively rescuing sinners, giving us salvation, bringing us the saving gospel. And you yourselves are among those recipients. The Holy Spirit is at work through the ministry of the church, through the means of grace, through word and sacrament, creating and nurturing faith in you and saving you for eternity. By the Spirit's working, you believe in your Savior, Jesus Christ, and you share in His victory. By the same faith, you know that you have a loving Heavenly Father who cares for you under all circumstances. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God, on your side, it's all good. And that's why we are forever glad to sing, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.